Good morning. Jesus spoke these words to Nicodemus, recorded for us in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. In the verses leading up to our text this morning, Nicodemus is told by Jesus that he must be born again. And when he hears these words, he has a hard time understanding what Jesus is talking about here. He responds to Jesus, "How can one be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus missed the point here of what Jesus was saying. He should have understood from Jesus' words here that Jesus was talking about the fact that people are born spiritually dead. The only hope for spiritually dead people is the same hope for physically dead people. The only hope for physically dead people is resurrection. And so for spiritually dead people, to be raised, to be reborn. In our text here, Jesus mentions Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And so this takes us back to remember an incident recorded in Numbers chapter 21. It was while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They had become impatient with God. They complained that there was no water. They were sick of the manna that they had to eat day after day. And so they spoke out to Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" It's an almost unbelievable response when you consider the fact that it was their own fault that they were in the wilderness to begin with. If they would have trusted God, if they would have trusted that God would fight for them, would fight against their enemies in the promised land, they could have been enjoying a land filled with milk and honey. Yet despite their utter disrespect for God, and though he did not let them enter the promised land, he continued to provide for them because God had made a promise. He made a promise way back in Genesis that he was going to send his Son to die for the world. And so he was going to fulfill this promise despite the unfaithfulness of this people. So he sustains this people because their children were going to enter this promised land and the Savior would come. So when they complain here, as God is sustaining them, God's wrath is kindled. And so he sends snakes among them. These snakes were so toxic that when people were bitten, they started to die this horrible death. You can kind of imagine what the scene might look like. People running around frantically looking for home cures, home remedies, homemade medicines that would get rid of this poison that was in their bodies. Can you imagine the picture of a father cutting at the place where the son, where his son had been bitten, trying to suck the poison out? But there was nothing they could do. No amount of effort on their part was going to be able to save them from the poison that was coursing through their veins. So in their desperation, they repent. They cry out to Moses to ask the Lord to deliver them. They cry out to God, and in response, he sends life. And he sends life in the form of a bronze serpent to which they can look and live. Now, of course, the power isn't in this bronze serpent, but in the promise of God. Look, live. And they did. Jesus says to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus says here to Nicodemus and to us, look at me. I have come to bring you life. You're not dying from snake bites, but sin bites. The bitten apple has corrupted you so deeply that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're like walking corpses, enemies of God, on his hellish hit list for destruction. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can try all you want to be good enough to bring your good works before God, but none of it will work. You cannot cure yourself from the poison of sin that's coursing through your veins. But God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent me, even though you didn't ask. He sent me to be lifted up on the cross, visible to the world through time and eternity, to which all can look and live. And then come those familiar words, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why did God send his Son for us? The answer is simple. Because he loves us. It's because he didn't want us to die for eternity. He knew that we couldn't do anything about our condition. And so God takes action. And let's not stop reading here at verse 16, because verse 17 is just as striking. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. Because of our sinfulness, we should have expected that Jesus would come to condemn us. Verse 19 of our text tells us, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. With the same love that drove God to send his Son into the world, people love darkness. Not just some men, not just most men, but all men. Humanity in general loves darkness. Do you deny this judgment? Do you deny arguing with God? Do you deny yelling at God when things aren't going your way? Do you deny ignoring all the amazing evidences of his love in your life when the moment suggests that things aren't going well? Are you afraid of having what you've done exposed by the light? Are you guilty of blaming others, everyone, even God, when the light is turned on you? If you deny this, you're a liar. You're lying to yourself, you're lying to me, you're lying to God. And you might fool yourself. Certainly you'll fool me. But you won't fool God. Verse 18 says, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's plain to see that we should be condemned. But we're not. God's purpose in sending Jesus was to save us. God loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son, to take the punishment and condemnation that we all deserve upon himself so that we might be saved. Paul describes this love of our great God so beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2. God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works. So no one may boast. You have been rescued from your sinful condition. You have been rescued from sin, from the devil, from God's wrath. You have been saved. You have been born again. And this passage from Ephesians makes it clear that this is a reality for you right now. Not because of anything that you've done, but purely because our God is such a loving and gracious God. God in His mercy opens our eyes to see how foolish we are for thinking that we could do anything to rescue ourselves from the poison of sin. And He directs us to look to Him and live. Later, Nicodemus himself would faithfully look to the cross to see Jesus dying for his sins. His hands held the body of Jesus faithfully as He took Him down from the cross and laid Him in the tomb. All of His life, He carried those words first spoken to Him that have become cherished by Christians of every age. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. May we carry these words with us always. Amen. We conclude this morning by singing three verses of hymn 245. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6. Hymn 245.